we're still on Lucade, but I woke up and have been consumed all morning by the Megillah for some reason. And you remember the Megillah, the five book, the whole Megillah are the five books that are read on the various times during the year and repeated every year. And they're so important, they were so important at the time of the temple, that all priests and Levites and everybody had to listen when it was read. So the sacrifices and the various functions in the temple stopped. All that time, Ronnie was stirring his coffee and making noise. But anyhow, so I wanted to review that a minute to remember this whole Megillah. The first one that's read in the spiritual year is Esther at the Feast of Purim. And that's purpose of that is to show God's working, even though the name of God is not mentioned in the book of Esther. I mean, and it shows God working, as it were, behind the scenes all the time, both in the world and in your life. Then Song of Solomon is read on Passover. And it's the betrothal of the bride. It's the time of what really means to be born from above. And it's the point in your life in which there is nothing left but your response to Him and your relationship to Him. Everybody understand that? Because by definition, Passover is leaving the world and it's leaving Babylon. There's really two different Passovers. One to leave the world, which is survival of the fittest, and then to leave Babylon, which is cause and effect. So that's why between Passover and Pentecost, you come out of the 49 gates of impurity, and every one of those gates of impurity are something that you think is valuable or good or worthwhile. And one of them really is cause and effect. It's everything you learned how to do. So that's when Song of Solomon is read, the betrothal. Then the next one is the Book of Lamentations. And that's read on the Fast of Ab.
Ruth?
Oh yeah, Ruth at Pentecost, excuse me. Ruth at Pentecost. And its real purpose of Ruth is to show you that you do not want to make yourself acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. And that's all the value systems of the world. And it's really the whore that's being revealed. Then in the Fast of Ab, we read Lamentations. And that's the total destruction of your Jerusalem that now is. So there's not one stone standing. It's your death, your family's death, everyone's, so you see and know nothing among anyone save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And finally, on the Feast of Pentecost, we read the last of the Megillah, which is Ecclesiastes.
You mean tabernacles?
Hmm?
Tabernacles?
And then what I said?
Pentecost, you said.
Oh, on Tabernacles, on this last seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, we read Ecclesiastes. And again, to emphasize that of all of the activities in the world and all your activities, they're nothing but emptiness and blowing in the wind. And that's the only time when you're eligible to enter the eighth day. You can celebrate the eighth day all you want, but if you don't know the end, then the eighth day is meaningless. Everybody understand all that? So that's why those five scrolls of the Megillah are called the whole Megillah, because they reveal the total mystery of God. You're doing it, Gary. What's going on?
That first part, Book of Ruth, God working in the background, just
Esther.
That hit me really amazing because that's how he's doing all the time, really. He's like not in a person form, but in God form, whatever that is.
The fact well, it's a parable.
Yeah, the fact that he's working in all those lives to bring forth this perfect ultimate picture that this desperately wants everyone to see. Probably the wrong word. But it's so important.
Patiently wants everybody to see.
Yeah, it's so important that we see this, and we're so blinded by all of our crap that then you go on into the, you know, without our death and agendas being wiped out, we're unable to perceive what he's working so hard for us to
amen. See. We're unable to see what is finished. And then in terms of him, the whole of the Old Testament reveals nothing but Jesus Christ. He was murdered in Abel, bound in Isaac, exiled in Jacob, sold in Joseph, revealed in Moses, slain in the law, persecuted in David, dishonored in the prophets. So there's nothing but him. I was listening to, I don't even know who it was, somebody on Trinity Broadcasting Network that I didn't recognize. I recognized him, but I didn't know his name. But it just reminded me of like little infants playing in the street, not aware of the traffic. It's so infantile. That's just sad.
I missed one word that made all the difference. What was that about?
I watched late last night. I was flipping through and stopped on Trinity Broadcasting Network when there was a preacher talking, and it was just infantilism. It just made me sad. Anyhow, anybody have any other response to all this? Everybody understand it? It's kind of complete. Of course, it doesn't mean anything. If it doesn't mean anything, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a bunch of gibberish. If somebody would have said all this to me back in my pagan days, I would have just, so what?
Yeah.
But to see the finality of it, from a spiritual standpoint, how can you continue? How can you continue in the world system? How can you continue giving any importance to anything you think? Your whole Jerusalem that now is, which is your mind, every stone is gone. I mean, it's not nothing there. These guys are peeping out of the dust and you still listen to them. These little voices in your head are emotions. They're meaningless crap. Well, how do I do it? Well, you'd stop listening to the son of a bitch. He's just an idiot. Amen? All right, let's go to Luke.
You were talking about being a pagan. If you don't have the life in you, nothing to witness to what's being said. It's empty words.
Well, the life is all there. It's just covered up by you. The life is always there.
Yeah, okay.
As long as you're there, there's just nothing but, what does this mean to me? Well, it doesn't mean anything to me.
What's the transition between pagan and open? It's just
Becoming
himself.
Right, becoming poor. And so, poor, it just means that there's nothing you want to do. And for me, it was, I was just bored.
Money.
What?
Money.
Has nothing to do with money. Poverty has nothing to do with money. Poverty has to do with ideas and opinions that you possess. You're rich in your opinions and ideas of what's right, and the right way to do things, the right things to eat, the right way to behave. Those are the riches, the money that keeps you bound. The wealth, some of the wealthiest people, I was talking to Bruce the other day, and we were talking for some reason about how many billionaires that he knew, and then how many billionaires I knew. And it's meaningless. They're not, I want all this money. Why? So you can be as miserable as they are? You own all things already. It has nothing to do with money. What?
I was thinking to own something is, the Gentile mind thinks you have possession of it. You can put it in your closet and you own it. But that's not what own means spiritually.
No, but because if to own it means you give it importance. You give some idiot idea importance. Some feeling you give importance to. That's you worshiping it instead of God. You worship that feeling or that opinion more than you do God. And you can't worship two things at the same time. So that means you're not worshiping God. Love the Lord. Love. Remember, the word love is a word that doesn't mean, it's not agape. It's a verb that means give breath to. The great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your might. If you do that, then you will automatically love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't do that, you cannot love two things at the same time. You think you can. Oh, I love everybody. I'm a people person. No, you're not. You're a people person as long as they fulfill your idolatry. You love somebody, you give them importance as long as they behave the way you think they should. Man,
okay. Are you a people person?
No. I'd be happy if I never got another email and never got another telephone call.
We could arrange that.
Good. I got off. Tom finally took me off those silly things like Facebook and LinkedIn and all that. So they're gone. I don't get all those.
Well, the funniest thing I ever have, I got invitations from you to join certain organizations.
Your LinkedIn?
Yeah.
That's because that's stupid. Oh, yeah. I pushed the wrong button.
there's a new social media company that they want you to be the spokesman for. It's called Face Off.
All right, 2 Corinthians. We're studying the word jeopardy.
Oh, Corinthians.
Well, we're studying Luke 8:23, but we're in the word jeopardy.
That's in Corinthians.
2 Corinthians. The boat was filled with water, and they were in jeopardy, is what we're studying.
2 Corinthians.
Chapter 11. Well, we're going to spend some time in this one.
Shepherd.
He's talking, let's start in verse 14. Or 13. It's talking about them which glory in the flesh, i.e., how many members you have, or how many conversions you have, or any kind of. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool I receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in the confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also." And now he's apologizing for this. He's making fun of people that have some statement about how well they're doing or something.
Excuse me. We're in 2 Corinthians, right?
Chapter 11. "That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wheresoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more." And now he defines what is more. "I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes more above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters." Now we're studying this word, jeopardy, which is also translated peril. In 26 again, "in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I'll glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor, under Aratus the king, kept the city of Damascus, the Damascenes, with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped by his hands." Now the problem back, what?
Oh, you said escaped by his hand.
From his hand, excuse me. Now the thing that we're talking is mainly in verse 26. "In perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." Now, again, that's the word jeopardy, can dine you. That's what we ended last time we talked about, how a believer must always be in jeopardy. And that's hard for us to understand. If you're not in jeopardy, then you're not walking the knife edge. You've stepped back away a couple of feet and are walking over here where it's, in your own mind, there's safety. But there's, I'm of the opinion that as a believer, you must always be in jeopardy. That's why my prayer from the very beginning, and some of you heard me pray it back, my prayer to the world, the devil, and the flesh was, take your best shot. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
I am looking at verse 30 here. It said, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. What is he saying there?
Well, he's saying he's not. But the other things are meaningless. He glories in his weakness, because when he is weak, then Christ is strong. When he is empty, then Christ is revealed. He is speaking in satire. Well, earlier when he was saying.
Antonym? It's the opposite of what we think.
Now, the reason I asked that question.
Oh, well, it's obvious the reason you asked the question.
Need I say more?
I don't know. You might. Somebody might not know.
Yeah. The reason why that struck me so was, instead of moaning and groaning and complaining and whining about that, those things, or you should glory in them.
Amen.
If you see right, you will. You can't just do it. Looks like it's
or it says it in here, right?
Yeah.
You do it because you know that you are, that being a partaker, you are blessed to be a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. It has nothing to do with you. Now let's go down in verse 12. I mean chapter 12, I'm sorry. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body. I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. That he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that which he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that I might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. For most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then then am I strong. I know a little bit about suffering. I wouldn't have it any different. The only thing that exists is Him. So again, I say to you, I believe it's the lot of every true believer to be always in jeopardy. That just tears at your mind if you give it any breath. So you can't give it you can't give your mind the slightest bit of importance. You can't give your feelings the slightest bit. Because if you do, then you resurrect the evil one from his deadly head wound, and he reigns. The evil one reigns.
Here's the thing I don't understand about that. You said you did it or whatever. It's like, I'm hurting real bad stuff. It's all over me. Get me out of it. Stop hurting.
It has nothing to do with you, Ronnie. Okay. That's the point. You don't exist.
Okay. But, if I'm in pain, I'm hurting, and I'm sick, I'm in pain.
Father,
isn't it?
Father, forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain.
All right. Okay.
Can you say that?
I can say that.
Can you mean it? Otherwise, you're just going to wallow in it.
Well,
Ronnie, you're just going to... This is the lot that you've been given.
Well, let's take baby steps, okay?
You can't. It's on or off. There's no baby steps.
I heard you.
All right. It either has nothing to do with you or everything to do with you. How is it... That's what you do. You always give importance to how you feel or what you, and you become a slug. How's that worked out for you? It hasn't. Nothing has worked out.
Absolutely.
So it's time, my God, it's time to see that you are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. It has nothing to do with you, and be thankful for that. You'll either hear it or you won't. There's no in between.
Well, I was going to say something that kind of helped me have this mindset about stuff like this, that I heard from somewhere, one of the first few attempts that I tried to make going to church and be a Christian, is that all suffering and everything's gone, and whatever that was, because Christ had taken it before, so it no longer exists now.
Well, that was a lie.
Okay. Gotcha. Sounds good.
Well, it's a lie, and it's a lie from the depths of hell. You've been listening to Satan preach. You've been listening to his minion, his disciple, which is you, your mind. You're instead of Christ. That's what I just talked about the whole Megillah. It's either all about Christ or it's nothing about Christ. Either everything is spiritual or nothing is. You can't live in both worlds. And there's no such thing as baby steps. It's either on or off. You're either seated with him in the heavenly places or you're in time and space. There's no in between. One, the warfare continues, and that's all. Oh, I get so tired, and I just blah, 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 blah. The other, you're at peace, no matter what feelings happen, no matter what thoughts come about, because you ignore them. You see that they're real, you're not, but you count yourself worthy to be a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. Everything else is bullshit. That's why the only reason Trinity Foundation exists is because every church I went to, they were ended up telling me how to get something from God. Either get rid of pain or get salvation or get the Holy Spirit or get the gift of the Spirit or get this or get that. I was already a great getter. I needed to learn how to die. So every time I heard that crap about how you can get this or how you can get that, I got sick to my stomach. And I thank God for it. Now, I'm not saying this is the only truth. I'm saying this is the truth that God has given me. And I think it's the truth for each one of you, or you wouldn't be here. God has established the bounds of your habitation. And we don't, everybody, I don't believe, has to do exactly what we do, obviously. But I believe that we have to be faithful to what we see. And if we're not, then we're miserable of all men. There's no in between. Amen? This table, amen? That table, amen? Ronnie?
Amen.
I pray that you mean it. Take it, big guy. And delve into my overtime minutes.
The end of the run is coming up very